May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was a young teen vicar, and I was baptising the baby, the new grandson of my team rector. And I wanted the family to understand something really important about baptism. So I welcomed them to the funeral. Now, in fair play to them, they weren't shocked or angry. They actually started laughing because they thought I'd made a mistake. But I began to explain to them that actually in baptism in the Bible, cleansing, the idea of cleansing is not the only meaning that baptism has. It's not the only metaphor that's used. In fact, one of the central metaphors of baptism that St. Paul uses is that of death and new birth. He says this. He says that in our baptism, that we have died with Christ, we have been crucified with Christ, and that we have been raised to a new life in his resurrection. And baptism is meant to show that our old life is dead. We've died to that old life, and we've been raised to a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that this is utterly new. And the practice of baptism, of full immersion, actually shows this most clearly. The idea that you would go into a river where there was plenty of water, and that you would be submerged underneath the water, and then come out again. As you were submerged, your old life was dying, and as you rose out of the waters, it proclaims that you were rising to a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, we see this most clearly today in Baptist churches, the Baptist churches who practice full immersion. But this idea of death and rebirth isn't the property of Baptist churches only. It's there in the New Testament for all of us. And in fact, it would seem that we Anglicans used to practice full immersion baptism. It seems that that's why our fonts are so huge, that back in the day, years ago, hundreds of years ago, you would fill those big old fonts up to the brim, take the newborn baby and plunge the baby into the water. And then as the baby was plunged into the water, underneath the water, the old life was dying. And as the baby was then brought out of the water, the baby, the child, was being raised to new life. And in fact, in the Orthodox churches, they still do something very similar to this today. Now, this isn't just a way of understanding our own baptism. I think it's also the best way of understanding the baptism of Jesus. I mean, Jesus didn't need to be cleansed from sin, did he? That wasn't the reason for his baptism. But the whole idea of death and rebirth really fits with Jesus being baptized. Here was the death of an old era and the beginning of a new one. This was the death of the old covenant and the birth of the new covenant. Here is the death of the old way of relating to God and the beginning of a brand new way, a birth of a new way of relating to God. Here is the death of the need either to fulfill all of the law, all of God's rules and regulations as a means of coming to him, or the sacrifice of animals, because actually people could never do that. And the beginning of a new way of relating to God through being adopted as one of his children because of the eternal sacrifice that Christ was about to make on the cross. It's the death of the old and the beginning of a completely new way of relating to God that Jesus brought to us and proclaimed in his gospel and showed in his life and accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection. And this idea of death and rebirth then is the beginning of the Christian era, but it also marks the beginning of our own spiritual lives. However, death and rebirth also seems in some way to be actually built into God's creation, the world in which we live. We can see this most clearly in the seasons, the cyclical nature of the death and rebirth of the year. We see it in epochs of history, death and rebirth of civilizations. And we see it also in the phases of life that we experience in shorter periods of time, as individuals and families and communities and nations. Death and then rebirth seems to happen all the time. A new year is a time when traditionally people are more open, I guess, to the death of things and to the birth of new things. I'd like you now to listen and watch part of a kind of visual poem that I posted as part of our reflections earlier this week. It comes from Scotland. The poem was written by Jackie Kay, and it's beautifully, beautifully done.
Ye ken this night. Here we cry it Hogmanay, a rhyme for the French of the homme est né, the man is born. So I, the new year's born, at midnight.
Good riddance to the last page torn from this scunnered year.
And though we can't first foot, with lumps of coal, black bun, a razzy malt,
or join together in a ring o' horns, singing old acquaintance fit to break the band,
we send out hope into this Scottish air, breathed out by widows, workers, wains, by those who care, by those who vote, shout, march to ring the changes at the bells, who've clocked the dangers.
We say wha's like us, singing auld lang syne. We share the planet's air. What's yours is mine.
The girl opens a padlock with a tiny key. The baby unfurls its fist. The wee lad cries on his mother's lap. The crows fly overhead, all three.
The moon is shared by the hale wide world, the swirling planet, the burling wind.
The rivers moan, the land hums, the seas groan, the air fresher than it was afore, with a bird singing louder and louder.
In the trees our witness, the earth beloved, our mother earth, our other earth,
gieing it loudly in tongues the world o'er, wearing the coats of many colours, till all our blethers are blended in the air.
Conversation goes we are lost. Just now, when we turn to our dear dead dad to tell him about the year we've had,
he answered in song, in clear notes through the air. There are seeds on the air which will be trees, choreography on the air, danced by bees.
There's odd licht made broad by a billion stars, the pure white of Venus and the red of Mars.
Choreographers and act to shilling the dance from Holoshir of Women, Libelian Rail, the Yao Venus, Agasteric Vars.
There are seeds on the air which will be trees. Choreography on the air, danced by bees.
There's old licht made braw by a billion stars. The pure white of Venus and the red of Mars.
David Tennant is one of the narrators there, and it's the first time I'd heard that explanation of Hogmanay. Hogmanay is an echo of the French, l'homme est né, the man is born. And I wonder about the relation between the birth of the Christ child for us and what that will mean about the birth of the new year in us and for us. What will Jesus' birth mean in the birth of the new year for you? This year? What will you let die? What will you let go of? Could it be attitudes or feelings or compulsions? What will you allow to be born in you this year? New starts to make? Things to try? New people to befriend. What will we need to let die in our churches this year, do you think? And what will be reborn for us in our church community, given all that's been going on and all that continues to go on? And what is dying in our community, our local community? What is already dying? Therefore, what must we let die? And where shall we look for signs of rebirth? What new life shall we tend and nurture and bring to fruitfulness in our own individual lives, in the lives of our church community, and in our local community? What is dying, and what can we help bring to birth this year in the power of God's Spirit, in fellowship with Christ, for ourselves and for others? Amen.